It's the Live at 8-5 Morning Startup, and joining us this morning is Ewan Curry from the Sheepdogs. New album is called No Simple Thing. New single is called Keep On Loving You, and the record recorded in Montreal last summer. At the time, urban Quebec, some of the highest COVID rates in the country. On a scale of 1 to Terminator Judgment Day, how intense was it in downtown Montreal while you guys were recording?
Like a 4.
4?
I think it was peak of summer, so it was like you could be outside comfortably. I think there was still like people dining inside. I remember we didn't eat inside, but we would just get takeout at our hotel and at the studio. But man, we were pretty focused, so you know, we weren't doing our usual Montreal partying this time around.
What was the top takeout place?
I remember the last dinner we had, we ordered what is it, a pied de cochon or something like
pied
that?
Pied de cochon, yeah, pied de cochon.
Yeah, my French
that's
is so bad.
Heavy, man. That's a heavy meal.
Yeah, man, everything had foie gras on it. It was like, it was delicious for the first, you know, couple bites, and then I was just like, oh.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
It's all about the wine you have it with.
Yeah, well, good wine too, but it's like rich on rich. I just needed like a light beer to kind of cut everything.
Do you like doing pairings, or are you like, no, I drink here and then I eat here?
Yeah, no, I think pairings are great. I mean, I don't like hard and fast rules about like red is with this and white is with this. Like I think it can be bent either way, but yeah, I think that's cool, you know, pairing those things.
Do you have like a favorite bottle under $20?
Of wine?
Yeah, man.
That's cheap, Andrew.
That's not cheap. That's a very reasonable price.
No, it is. 10 would be crazy.
At the start of the pandemic, I was definitely like treating myself to some like sort of $40-$50 bottles, and then eventually I was like, all right, let's reel it in here. So yeah, I don't know, $20 is usually where I land. I usually look for like French or Italian and like full bodied and smooth. Like, you know, they have those little descriptions.
Yes.
The LCBO. That's about as calculating as I get.
And when you stop buying the expensive bottles, is that because you kind of got to that point where everyone did, where it's like, whoa, this is going to go on longer than we thought?
Yeah. Eating Doritos and like drinking two bottles of whiskey every weekend was not going to be a sustainable plan for the entire year. And we're on year 2. So, you know, kind of had to rein it in.
Does this explain why you guys decided to go out and record a record? Because you were like, I'm really in the hole on booze here. We got to put some music out.
Yeah, my checkbook. Yeah. No, I mean, we were going to make a record anyway. We were going to make a record in April, but we were planning to do it down in Portland, Oregon. Oh,
okay.
And of course, that wasn't going to happen. So we kind of had to shift gears, and we just ended up in Montreal because we were taping a Canada Day streaming special out there.
So you went out on tour back in the fall. And now that you've had a little bit of time to think about it and reminisce about it, I mean, it's always one thing to ask you when it's happening. And now that that was a couple of months ago, when you look back on it, like, how did it go?
You know, I don't know. I think it went pretty well. I think it was just a good sort of like distraction from everything that was going on, you know, like, and the best thing was like, you know, we're all kind of going crazy because we're isolated from our friends and our family. And like, I spend more time with my bandmates than I do with my friends and family. And they are my friends and literally my family, because my brother Seamus is in the band. And not being able to see those guys really sucked. And then like, we're living in this era where we're doing all these things via Zoom like this, mm-hmm. and meetings, like people who work, you know, doing meetings and stuff. And like musicians doing a lot of like Zoom stream things, which I'm not a fan of. Music is all about like energy, being in the same room as each other, looking each other eye to eye, vibe, mojo, all that stuff. Yep. So like getting in the room was just, it was everything. And so it felt amazing. And I think also for a band that's been on the road as long as we have, you know, we hit it pretty hard. You start to burn out, and then taking a little time off where you're not allowed to do it, all of a sudden we were like, just give it back to me. Yeah.
And as you went on tour across the country, you performed to a lot of cars. Did you start to see some similarities between like the cars that would show up to see one of your shows?
No, I mean, I'm not really. Like, to be honest, I'll be glad when we never have to do that kind of stuff ever again, because I don't think the people want to do it either. Like, you want to go to a show, you want to like, you know, be in a crowd and like feel the summer wind on your face. You know, it's just like I went to a drive-in. We all did it, you know, like it's not better than watching in a movie theater. Like it's just something to do right now.
Right. What's it feel like to be honked at?
It's weird. It's like, you know,
objectified.
It feels strange. I don't know. I prefer the roar of the crowd. I'm not going to lie.
The Blue Jays, when they recently played some of your music in a home run montage, and you've done a bunch of stuff related to hockey, and you played the CFL halftime show. Is there a sport that you're like, no, Sheepdog's music doesn't suit that sport?
I'm not one to tell anyone that they shouldn't have our music be part of some. You know, I'm very in favor of all. Like, I don't like when people are like, I don't like when certain people listen to my music. Like, it's like, I'm an all-inclusive type of dude.
Music judging.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm into it, man. And like, we like a wide variety of sports. Like, obviously baseball is a big one, and I'm a big football fan, basketball. But like, even like, I dig curling. I like, you know, Australian sports like
cricket
and stuff like that. Because like, the first bunch of years of my life was in Australia. So I think, you know, anyone who wants to get into it, you can play it at your ringette tournament or your horseshoes toss or bocce ball, whatever, man. You know?
What if the PGA wanted to, there's a hole in one in my heart. Let's say they record that.
Sure. Yeah, that's a bit of a force, but yeah, let's do it.
It's a huge force. Don't worry. We've got more of those coming up. It's a Live 85 Morning Startup. We were talking to Ewan Curry of the Sheepdogs. You know, of course, we're talking about the weird times. You're a beard-wearing man. I'm a beard-wearing man. I clipped mine down pretty aggressively from when the pandemic started, just to wear a mask properly. Any beard-wearing mask tips that you garnered over the last 17 months?
No, the start of the pandemic, my beard and hair were pretty huge. And I actually cut my hair kind of short, but it's already back. The beard, I just trim it down, like, just around here. Like a
goatee.
Cover down here.
Yeah.
I had buddies that used to work in the rigs, like, out in Alberta, and they weren't allowed to have anything but, like, a very modest mustache.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because it would impede the seal of some kind of safety mask. So, we're probably, us bearded guys, we're probably actually not being very safe in the rigs, but let's not add more restrictions right now.
Fair enough.
Sorry, Canada.
Is there something new that you did learn over the last year? I think a lot of people try different things. I would say different places, but that wasn't an option. So what was something new that you tried?
I mean, it kind of sounds bad, but I really got into whiskey pretty hardcore during the pandemic, which just makes me sound like I'm an old drunk, but I'm just sort of like I'm still in my 30s. So, you know, I'm like a young-ish drunk. I don't know. Like, I always enjoyed like a shot of Jameson here and there, but then I like started to drink nicer with one for the taste, and it, you know, really takes off after a while. So that, you know, that's kind of the thing I learned about that. And I played a lot of Super Nintendo.
Okay. Well, that's what I mean.
I was going to ask you about whiskey, but now Mal's going to ask you about Nintendo.
Well, just like what games is what I'm wondering. I love Super Nintendo, and that's what got me into Mario Kart in life.
Yeah, Mario Kart's great. I still have my OG Super Nintendo system from when I was a kid. There's this baseball game called Super Batter Up that my bro and I play. And it's like from 1991 or something, but it's great.
Do you have to blow in the games yet, or you're not there?
No, the Super Nintendo is way more robust than the Nintendo games. The Nintendo is like so janky, and like, you always have to take off the back and like press down the like prongs at the whatever.
Right.
The Super Nintendo is like a tank, man. That thing just keeps on ticking.
So what are you playing now? Just do you have a Switch, or are you still on all the old stuff?
I do have a Switch, but the games don't really entice me. I'm definitely more of a like, 8-bit, 16-bit kind of guy. Nostalgia.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Forget those other things. We need cartridges.
Yes. Well, I'm old school, so.
And even when they have like those old games on the Switch, they don't quite feel right, because I've got a Switch and I have like the old controllers that are now Bluetooth to hook up to the Switch. You can install the old games and use like retro controllers that are sort of the similar experience, but it's still different somehow.
It is. I actually have a Bluetooth Super Nintendo controller as well. We're getting really nerdy. We should have talked about whiskey instead.
Oh,
that's
man.
Way more rock and roll.
Okay, fine. Whiskey's turn. Go.
All right.
So does like the LCBO guy know you when you walk in the store now?
No, but I spread out. I go to different stores, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's
brilliant.
The beer store guys are really getting to know me, you know. So it was like I had to start going to different stores.
It's a Live 85 Morning Startup. We're talking to Ewan Curry of the Sheepdogs. And you guys have worked with a bunch of people in the past. Now, I know you were behind the board, I guess, the last three records, but you've also, of course, traveled with the Black Keys. You worked with Pat Carney. Pat Carney's done a lot of interesting stuff as well, including write TV themes, specifically for BoJack Horseman. Is there a TV show that you wish the Sheepdogs could write a theme for?
Yeah, I'd love to do a TV theme or a movie theme. You know, my brother and I, we have a side project called Bros. We do a lot of different music, kind of different than the rock vibes of the Sheepdogs. We have some new music coming out later this year, but one of the things we did is we created a song called Theme from Bros, okay, which is an instrumental to sort of a fictional Bros television show that's kind of like He-Man meets Starsky and Hutch. So cool. I'd love to do like sort of a cop, 70s cop show, 80s okay, like action cartoon theme song.
It's Live 85 Morning Startup, and we are talking to Ewan Curry of the Sheepdogs. Record Store Day, we've got two of them this year. Our one is on June 12th. Is there a record that always moves with Ewan?
Yeah, I got about 1,200 of them.
What?
Yeah, man, it's funny because I was talking about Record Store Day with somebody, and they were like, you know, that's not a real thing. It's just an excuse to sell records. And I was like, yeah. That's the idea. It's like... Man, I love vinyl. I got a huge collection. You know what I did is I got a buddy who's a carpenter to make me a custom record shelf. So it's a big, beautiful walnut unit that fits almost all my records. Yeah. And has like an area for the turntable and the stereo. It's so rad, man. It's beautiful. My living room is just records. There's no TV. And so, you know, you do that thing where you just like sit and listen to music and talk, and very mature.
I always find it interesting when some younger people are like terrified to put on a record, because you'll say, we'll just put on a record, and they have no concept of how you take the needle and actually put it on, and they're so afraid to do it because they might break it. And then you say to them, yeah, you just might break it. That's part of the fun of albums, is they have a life.
Yeah, it's a tangible thing, which is kind of sweet nowadays because everything's just on your phone. So everything's in the cloud, everything's online, or you just search for it. So it's cool to have, like, you know, a thing. I think it's pretty cool.
It's nice to hear that on a Zoom conversation.
You wanted to be a comedian as a kid. Do you still think about that? Do you still like write stuff down just in case?
I definitely like, you know, joking around with my buddies, and like, you know, we make silly videos with the Sheepdogs, but you know, on Instagram and stuff, but I listen to, like, you know, comedians on podcasts, and what I dig about them is like how much they like talk to each other about their craft, and they're like, they have a great bond that, like, you know, they look out for one another, they promote each other's, you know, work. The musicians, maybe not as much. It feels like almost like comedians now are like, you know, jazz musicians like 70 years ago, where they're okay, like learning licks and trading and improvising. It's kind of cool. I dig it on that level, but I'm not, you know, the age of 36, I'm not going to embark on a stand-up career or anything.